The film discussed in this episode is intended for mature audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
You like basketball?
I work for a basketball team.
I didn't even think about that. But yeah, that's sick. Man, well, I don't want to be insulting then.
Yo,
what?
I just realized that the audience is not... I haven't told the audience that news
yet. Well, now you know, audience. Yeah. You can tell.
Yeah, I secured the bag for an internship with the Los Angeles Sparks for the entire WNBA season that's starting, I think, in a week and a half, probably. But I'll be doing that this summer, and it's like the dream.
Yeah.
Working for a sports team, so super hyped about that. Please continue. I apologize.
No, that's sick. I don't want to.
No, bring it on.
Okay,
let's go.
And it's not.
Let's go.
It has nothing to do with you or your internship, but there are no fans in sports quite like the NBA fan or the basketball fan in general. WNBA.
That's NBA. A fair statement. Yeah.
And here's why. Well, or what I've observed based on. Instagram, just what I've seen, friends, that sort of thing. Basketball fans think they're good at basketball. No other sport fans who play the sport as amateurs think that. Basketball fans think they're really good at basketball.
Interesting.
And here's the thing. I've thought a lot through this. Basketball is very accessible. Like, there's no other sport that's really quite as accessible. Like...
Yeah, like to play actual baseball.
You need people on
you
both
need,
sides.
Yeah, you need at least 18 people.
Not even to mention a ball and a bat.
Right.
Basketball, literally, you just have the ball and you're good. Yeah. And I mean, obviously the court, but that's pretty easy to get too. So like, but I was thinking about like maybe golf. Golfers don't think they're good at golf.
No.
It's the joke is that they're terrible.
Right, yeah.
Like amateur football, you don't really see that, but like football, softball leagues, they don't think they're good in the same way that street basketball players or just recreational basketball players think they're good.
Yeah. I think that while it is the most accessible, I think it is also probably the easiest to actually be good at.
I was going to say the same thing.
Like,
it's probably one of the easier sports.
Right. No, like it's still an incredibly difficult sport.
No, sure, it's hard as any
like,
sport can be, but
like if I were to, you know, go to the court every day for 2 hours, I would probably by the end of this week, I'd already be a lot better than what I was.
You can't say that about any sport.
Most sports.
Yeah. I mean,
I
was thinking about it, and in my eyes, like the next easiest would be football, but there's certain skill positions in football that not anyone can just go play.
Yeah.
Like I think most good athletes might be able to go play a skill position. Maybe linebacker, probably not secondary. Not linemen, probably not quarterback. Like there's specific
the
positions.
Corner safety is like the hardest position.
Yeah.
Football,
and baseball, no. You can't just go play it and like really improve that much in a week.
Yeah. Speaking from
hockey.
speaking from personal experience, I think golf, if I were to go out to the golf course like every day this week, I would probably be better by the end of the week.
Sure.
But
that said, I think fundamentally getting down a non-ugly golf swing is very difficult to do.
Like, I'm thinking in terms of me, like, I am an experienced golfer. So for me to be, like, I don't know, like, my score at the end of the week might be a few strokes better.
Whereas,
someone who's never played golf before, like, it's going to be, like, quite a bit of progress, but it's still going to be, like, not very good, you know?
But, yeah, there's just such, like, a weird Instagram presence. Like
NBA Instagram.
like Flight Reacts is like the meme of it.
Yeah.
Where like he thinks he's really good and obviously he's not.
Yeah.
But like that exists outside of him too.
Yeah.
Of people just and you hear stories on the new on you know, like sports news about like so and so challenged an NBA player and thinks they could beat. Do you remember Scalabrine? There was some street player that was like I could beat Scalabrine.
What was his nickname? Wasn't it White Mamba?
Maybe.
I don't remember.
But either way, like, there's no way this random dude could beat Scalabrine.
Mm-hmm.
I think is the consensus. But I think there's a lot of basketball players that think that way. I don't know about any other sport that like that's the mentality.
His nickname is the White Mamba.
The White Mamba, Scalabrine.
Legend.
If you're listening,
NBA champion.
Love you. That's what's funny. NBA champion. But anyway, yeah, that was just something I was thinking through. Yeah, basketball. It's too easy.
Too easy.
It's got, there's got
be better basketball.
Make the hoop 12 feet.
Yeah. Something I was thinking about today. Through the past, I've been working for the basketball team for the past 2 weeks now. And I've been doing some graphic work. And my first graphic actually got posted.
Hey.
So that's super awesome. Got like 3,000 likes, which is crazy. And like my boss and, some other folks were like, oh, this is actually really good. And gave me like shout outs on Instagram. Super love that. But then I've been working on another graphic, it's like super crazy how I'll start something and then there'll be like 20 to 30 different drafts of it just from me like making changes, sending it off to my boss, and my boss sending like, okay, make these changes.
Uh-huh.
And then I do them and send them back, and
right,
the process just repeats over and over. Super tedious work. And like, I enjoy it. Like my boss was like, oh, sorry, I'm like very picky. And I'm like, you know, I actually appreciate the feedback, because like, even though you may be picky, like I feel like I'm learning a lot about, you know, making
sure
stuff
sure
through that. So it does feel tedious to like just like having to make these small edits and like keep sending them back and forth, and it's just like a hassle. But I do feel like I'm learning a lot already, which like the season hasn't even started. I'm like super geeked out. I'm like so excited.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. In other news, an update for the pod. So we are on episode 11 now.
Yeah.
Next week will be episode 12. And I believe episode 12 will be our last episode in person. In the studio.
Yeah.
We have not figured out specifics, but for sure I will be going home this summer. Michael will be staying in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be going to Texas for a week or two.
Yep.
At the start of summer. So we may take a break there. We may do remote, whatever.
Might try to record some episodes and upload them.
Right.
If we have time to, but yeah.
Yeah. Our last week we may just do like a bunch of records. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Our audio quality may drop substantially this summer.
Yeah.
I remember
the good old days.
Yeah. I told Michael if he can get in the studio over the summer, then like 100%.
Right.
Try and use it.
That's a big if.
That is a
big
if.
But if I'm able to come use these mics, I obviously will. But yeah.
And I'll be back in the paper closet, baby. Let's go.
Hey, but we also are like almost on pace to do 1,000 plays this season alone.
Yes.
And we just passed 1,000 listens like a few episodes ago. So granted, we are doing a lot more episodes this season.
Before the season started, actually.
Yeah, true.
But
yeah, we're on pace almost to do 1,000. So thank you guys so much.
We're just a tad under pace.
Yeah.
To hit our ambitious goal of 1,000 plays. So if you miss any episodes, go back and play them.
Yeah. Give us a listen.
You know, also continue to send us feedback. If you go back and listen to the first episode that you missed, like feel free to still send us any thoughts that you have.
Mm-hmm.
We still love to hear from everyone. And then as we continue to post new episodes, like definitely like them and review us on Apple Podcast, and share those to your Instagram stories. Anything that helps us out is a huge, huge help, and a huge thanks to you for that.
Yeah.
Also, totally unscripted, I wanted to bring this up. I know that on Apple Podcasts, I think last week, they made an announcement that podcast creators can make paid subscriptions for the audience members. And then Anchor, our sponsor for today's episode, they made an announcement as well that anyone on their platform can make subscriptions for their audiences too. And I personally feel we haven't had this discussion yet, but
yeah.
I personally feel like we will not be doing a paid subscription just because
we're not doing that.
Yeah, we don't have enough people listening anyway. I don't know how I necessarily feel about the paid subscriptions, just because I feel like I've been doing a lot of studying for a class this semester on just streaming services in general, and how like everyone feels like they have to make their own streaming service to make their own money.
Yeah.
And so I feel like adding subscriptions to podcasts is just like basically just another avenue of the same problem.
Uh-huh.
The only difference here is that podcast creators themselves, not necessarily Apple or Spotify or whatever, can make those subscriptions and make the parameters for what those subscriptions
sure,
look like.
Sure.
But we will not be doing that, so you'll be able to enjoy our content for absolutely free.
You can't put a price tag on something that was meant to be free.
Now, if you do help us
out... That's a quote from Tron Legacy, by the way.
If you help us out and we do become famous, you know, someday we may have to drop out of college to do this full time.
Yeah,
we, you know, who knows what tomorrow will bring. We might have to drop that paid subscription on there, but
hey, I'm not saying that. That's Aiden's talking. No, I never said that, guys.
Just messing.
Let it be clear.
That is a long step to get there.
But yeah.
So
anyway, but that said, thank you so much for support.
Yeah, 100%.
And do you want to get back into the movie?
Well, we haven't gotten into it yet, but I would love to get
into it. You
want
to get into it the first time? Yeah. Tell us about this movie, Aiden.
Yeah, so we took a 2-week break. We were at the midway point. Michael and I were both pretty busy last week, and we felt like, you know, a mid-season break felt reasonable. And I don't know about you, but I enjoyed my break. I missed the pod, but it was
The pod a lot.
It was a nice rest.
I felt anxious about not doing the pod.
Interesting.
It's become a bit of a muscle memory. And so not coming in on Saturday and being like, and watching a movie and getting prepared for hours, it was a little sad and a little like, oh, I want my listeners to still listen. And like, and I got some people like, oh, no pod this week. And I was like, I know, I wish we could, but you know, it's all good.
But yeah, hopefully we didn't make you too upset that you don't listen anymore. But we are back with episode 11, we watched Lady Bird.
Yeah.
2017. Yeah, personally, I liked the film.
You hadn't seen it before, correct?
I had not seen it before. Michael has seen it before.
Yeah, I saw it once.
And I think you said that you were like, eh, about it? Like,
no.
It wasn't crazy good, but it wasn't crazy bad.
No, it's not, yeah. Well, I think it is really good. It's not my taste, really. But like I really enjoy it. It's really depressing to me. And I think that happens because it's like not your standard depressing movie. Like you don't click on it. Like I'm trying to think of like Eternal Sunshine. You're kind of aware that's gonna be depressing. Like Lady Bird is kind of, it's funny and it, like there's a lot of jokes in it and it's lighthearted at times, yep, and it's still really depressing. And I think that's more depressing than something you click on like, oh, this is going to be a sad movie. So if, like for that reason, it's not super my speed, but like still good. And I really wasn't looking forward to watching it when you said we're going to do it.
Interesting.
Like I was like, oh, I have to watch this movie. Like it's sad. And I'm not typically like that with movies, but I sat down and I played it and I laughed a few times and like it's a good watch every time, but yeah, not super my taste, but a good movie. I love Little Women.
I haven't seen it.
Which is Greta Gerwig's newer movie.
Yeah.
I thought with
the same lead actress.
Yeah. Yes, Saoirse Ronan. I thought that was like in my top two for the Oscar Best Picture running. Like I thought it potentially should have won, but yeah, Lady Bird's good.
Yeah, I would say it was good. Probably not at the top of my list for this season, but definitely not the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
We know what's at the bottom of the list for me.
Yeah, don't need to talk about it more. It's probably been the most mentioned movie on the podcast, without a doubt.
Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think we mentioned that or me.
Yeah, probably like once every episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was super good. Like you said, there were a lot of good comedic bits. There were definitely a lot of it was like not even like specifically funny like joke stuff going on. It was just like awkwardness in scenes,
yeah,
between,
sure,
characters that like made me laugh out loud. Specifically, there were several moments with Timothée Chalamet where I was just like dying laughing just because he was just like, I don't even know how to describe him. The one scene where he was like sitting on the car. And
very anarchist.
Yeah. And like all these words that he was using, I was just like,
he's
dying
goofy.
Laughing.
Yeah.
And whenever I saw his name on the film, I thought that he was going to be like a huge main character, but he was like the most side character of all side characters. Yeah. Like he was not important really at all. Which I found interesting. Overall, you know, we've talked this season about how, there were a few films that we watched that don't necessarily have major plots, but it's more about, what was the one?
It's more about the characters? Or?
Yeah, more about the journey that the characters go on.
I mean, I would say, I guess I'd put Manchester by the Sea in that category.
Yeah. I think very similar to that, specifically the main character, Casey Affleck's character, I think is more about the emotional journey that we see throughout the film rather than the plot itself. I think in this film, you see that, I wouldn't say so much emotional journey with, you know me, I can't remember characters for, Lady Bird, duh, okay.
That is funny though, I keep like, what's her name again? It's like, oh yeah.
I remember hearing her say that and I was like, oh, that'll be easy to remember. I wouldn't say specifically, I wasn't really getting vibes of like an emotional journey for her necessarily, but more of just like a coming of age story. I would say the emotional journey out of all the characters I saw most in the mom. And maybe honestly it was more in the relationship between,
yeah, it was just, between, I think, the two. I would say the relationship between the two, definitely.
Do you have any thoughts?
I mean, I'll go back to, you mentioned the jokes and there not being any like explicit jokes, but just things they said. And I think that's true. But I also think that they got away with dialogue that is like shouldn't work in a movie, like or you'll see in a movie and be like, oh, that's corny, but in this movie it works because you look at like Manchester by the Sea, which is like purely realism, and we talked a lot about like it being so realistic because like they can't get the stretcher into the ambulance, like, and that's like funny in a moment of like sadness, and like that happens throughout the movie. In this movie, it's realistic, but because Lady Bird is so dramatic and her mom is so dramatic and there's drama students in it and they're 18-year-old girls about to leave for college and it's emotional, they get away with like a lot of drama. Mm-hmm. And Lady Bird specifically is just such a dramatic character. And so you have lines from her like she says, "Ah, Paris," or she's from the wrong side of the tracks, or she walks up to Lucas Hedges in the supermarket and says, "Come here often." Yeah. It's like, these are like funny jokes. These are like lines that you might see in a movie and think it's corny, but they're used in such a way that it's just because Lady Bird is the type of person to watch these movies and use these lines. Yeah. And I thought that was so great. See that in a movie and for it to still feel realistic, but you're kind of asking yourself, like, why does this feel realistic? That's just because it's a well-written character.
Do you think those moments, like specifically the one in the grocery store when she says, "You come here often," do you think that's because that's just the kind of character that Lady Bird is? Or do you think it's because the film is based in 2002, 2003 and you are able to see, like, it's old, so is that, like, an aspect of world building, like that's
no.
Like, did they say that in 2002?
I don't think 2002? So. That's just like a known. You like watch movies and like someone flirting with someone else or trying to seduce them or anything says stuff like that, and like no one says that in real life.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And like, and so like, I think that was just like the motivation for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the movie in general, like I said, like walks on the line between like drama and realism because you have these just dramatic characters. I also said under that category, like with indie film in A24, you expect like these artistic looking movies. You think Ex Machina, The Florida Project,
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems. You think stuff like that. this is in that category of indie and that kind of feel, mm-hmm. but it's not like pretentious at all. Because like you can watch an A24 movie and like be like, oh, this is kind of pretentious. This is kind of art housey. And A24 is kind of known for drawing the line between mm-hmm. like art house and mainstream, and it's done a good job at that. I've been kind of wrestling with this morning. Like there's parts in the movie that feel like they should be like, oh, this is corny, but mm-hmm. they don't. Like the football coach,
yeah,
teaching the drama class and like acting like drama is like the blocking on stage is a football play. Like that's a stupid joke. That wouldn't happen, but it's like it works in the movie. And then the same thing with like while she's stealing the grade book for her math class, or like while she's checking her acceptances to different colleges, there's like mischievous and like suspenseful music playing. And the music is very noticeable at times. It's like, oh, weird song choice. The score, not even the soundtrack, just the score. And it still works for some reason. Mm-hmm. It allows itself to be a movie, and it allows itself to like use tropes that you see in maybe not so great movies, but uses them super well and plays with them. And I think for that reason, doesn't feel pretentious at all.
Yeah. Going back to your point on the football coach teaching the drama class. There were so many aspects of the film, where I just felt like a lot of like high school vibes. And I feel like, they were executed really well in building the world. A few examples, the two characters, Lady Bird and Jules,
mm-hmm.
Sitting on the floor with their feet up against the wall, eating
chips. The communion chips. That was hilarious.
Super great scene. But just like, see, I went to Catholic school for elementary and middle school. So like, I never did that. But like, that seems like something that if there was a high school to that school, like that seems like something that would happen. Mm-hmm. And like, that feels realistic.
Right.
Just like mischievous
students.
Another one, just like talking smack about other students, just like straight up. The dance scene where they're like, hey, keep space between you for the Holy Spirit. That's like a classic, like completely overused joke that you hear at like every dance that you go to in high school, but it was used well. Like I found it funny. Like you said, the coach having to fill in for the drama teacher, like there were so many times in high, like my AP US history teacher filled in for my Spanish teacher one time. And like I had a PE teacher as an English teacher, and just like complete, like literally just like putting an adult in the room is like all it is. That felt super real. And then, whenever she got the job at the coffee shop, and, we first see the interaction between Lady Bird and, what's, Chalamet's character's name?
I don't even remember.
All right.
Timothy. Kyle.
It sounds right. I'm not sure.
Okay.
That interaction between Lady Bird and Timothy Chalamet, whenever the boss comes out of the coffee shop and is like, I'm not paying you to flirt.
Right.
That is like it's a cliche, slightly overused saying that you hear like frequently in films. And like, I don't know if it's just me, but like in the town that I grew up in, there were so many sayings that were just cliches that you hear over and over. And that one is like, I'm not paying you to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Or like whenever I was working in high school, I would have to clean windows and people would be eating and they'd like look up and watch me and say, oh, you want to come to my house after you're finished and do that in my house? It's like a joke that you hear all the time. Yes. So funny. And just like jokes like that.
Yeah.
That are completely overused. But I feel like in this film they were used really well, even though they definitely are cliche.
No, I agree. The characters felt really real, according to high schoolers. Like it, just painting that picture of high school was really well done. And yeah, Timothy Chalamet's character is named Kyle.
Kyle.
Yeah. And it just felt very truthful in general, I think. It's I mean, I'll talk about the cinematography a bit. It was very symmetrical at times, which I always wonder about symmetrical stuff. You watch like a Wes Anderson movie, which is like the go-to when you think of symmetrical. Mm-hmm. Everything's center framed. I never know how I feel about it. And there's a lot of that in this movie as well. And it's almost like I can't help but think that sometimes it's like, why not? Let's put it in center frame. And it works. It doesn't look bad. It looks good. But like, I don't know. It's just interesting. I don't really know what to think about it.
Yeah.
But there was a bit of that in this movie. What was well done with the cinematography, it felt low budget in the way that it's a lot of locked off camera. You have a lot of cameras on tripods and just stationary. And when big, important things happened, there was often camera movement. Like I had three instances that are like really clear. There's a push in, a slight push in when she first sees Timothée Chalamet, Kyle, in the band that he's playing with. There's just a slight push in when on Lady Bird and then on Kyle when they look at each other. And that's like very subtle, but that didn't happen in the whole movie before this moment. When she is in the bathroom and then walks in on Lucas Hedges in the men's room, it's locked off when she's in the girls' bathroom, and then it's goes straight to handheld. And it's like a little shaky and kind of hectic as that moment happens. And like I said, it's all locked off otherwise, and then it just goes to handheld. And then the last example I thought of was, there's another push in at the end when her mom won't talk to her. When her mom first finds out that she's waitlisted on a East Coast school, and her mom's at the sink doing dishes, and Lady Bird's crying and asking her to talk to her, there's a push in there as well. And that happens, and that, again, just doesn't happen for like the entirety of the movie except for those big moments. So you kind of break out the big guns. It's like, all right, let's put a dolly down and get a push in for this shot because it's meaningful. I think that's really good filmmaking. It's like, we know the resources we have. Let's put the camera on a tripod for all these scenes. So when we have these big moments, we can make them impactful. Otherwise, you move it throughout the whole movie, and then you have to do something really impactful for those big moments, or everything just falls flat and doesn't really, isn't assisted by the cinematography. So I think that's a...
Hey, good analysis, dude.
Oh, thanks. I think that's a good cinematography. Good job.
That's a thumbs up from me.
Yeah, he gets my approval.
Is Lady Bird, the actress that plays Lady Bird is in Grand Budapest Hotel, yeah?
Yes. What's her name in that?
I don't remember. I recognize that actress from somewhere, and I don't know if it's necessarily from Grand Budapest.
Was it Atonement?
I looked up the actress online and like all the films she was in. I was just like, never seen any of these. So I don't know.
She's a pretty...
It's like bugging, popular face. It's bugging she me. Is a around, lot. You know. Like I don't know if it's like someone that I've met that I know that has just like a similar face and like just like a similar attitude slash voice or whatever, or if it's actually just her from different films. And it's really bugging me. Like I wish I could figure it out. Sorry, continue.
No, you're good. If you have anything to say too, but yeah,
I did want to point out also. I think Lucas Hedges has come to number first in the rankings for most appearances in season four.
Number first.
I think he's had two appearances.
I don't think we've had another repeating actor.
I don't know that we've had any other crossovers, but watch at the end of the season, like out of all of the like award-winning actors that we've had during
Lucas
the season,
Hedges wins
Lucas
twice.
Hedges wins most appearances.
Yeah, I mean, I have another note here in addition to the first one I made about how, although it is dramatized, it just feels like a very true movie, and I again wrote like amplified only by extreme personalities, but very truthful characters, and in addition to that, it wasn't something I was thinking about and talking to someone about was like, it wasn't just a bunch of cliches in, it wasn't just a bunch of cliches that like moved the movie along. Like, it wasn't just cliches that got the mom angry at Lady Bird. It was like little things. And in a mother-daughter relationship with two personalities like that that just don't mesh, mm-hmm. I don't think it has to be big things. And I thought that was so well done. Like, it wasn't like drugs and sex that like got the mom mad at the daughter, which are two things that happen in the movie the mom's aware of that don't make her mad. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's like the small stuff, like not putting your clothes away and not being grateful and, you know, applying to a college going behind her back, which is a big thing. But like, there are just these little moments that, you know, set them off at each other, including, you know, not telling Lady Bird that she looks good in a dress. Mm-hmm. And so like, I thought that was super truthful as well. Some other things I liked just about characters was Miguel's girlfriend, who's like the only person that's nice to Lady Bird. Mm. Like, well, the dad's nice and, you know, but like, it's just like, you think of like the sibling's significant other as like a character in movies that's often not nice, but like she is a nice character to Lady Bird that also prompts Lady Bird to look for goodness in the mom. Because she's like, hey, she took me in, which is actually super significant because they're a pretty low income family and, you know, they take another person in. So they, that was just an interesting character, and I'm glad that they did the way they used her in the movie. Just truthful stuff, like Miguel acting like his girlfriend, you know, getting piercings, being mean to Lady Bird, all these things, and then pretty flipping on a dime, like, you know, changing and trying to go out and get a job. Like, I felt that that was realistic too, and I'm going to talk more about that later. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I think, first of all, I just have to say the Dave Matthews in the film was just really great. Was not expecting it. I mean,
no comment.
I'm a big Dave Matthews fan.
No comment.
I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily a fan, but it was kind of ingrained in my brain because shout out mom and dad, literally have it blasting my entire childhood. the one album of Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds live in Las Vegas has been ingrained in my head. Shout out mom and dad. The plot twist that happens with Lucas Hedges in the bathroom, super like unexpected. And I really liked the quick cut to Lady Bird and Jules in the car, and they're both crying, and Dave Matthews is playing. And, like, I got a laugh out of that. Like, I thought that was, like, so perfectly executed. Just, like, not her, like, running out of the bathroom and just, like, straight up crying or whatever. But it's just, like she turns around, she murmurs something, like, under her breath.
Right.
And then it's just, like, a cut, like right. straight cut to them in the car from overhead. I really like that shot as well. Them like lean back in their chairs. Super good. But then going off of the Lucas Hedges character, the part where he confronts Lady Bird behind the coffee shop, that felt really real. I really like that. Just like, you know, all these points that I made earlier about these high school things that happen. I feel like this is definitely something that would happen in high school. You know, there's these situations probably happen all the time. And it felt super real. And I feel like I was kind of getting vibes that, her parents were probably more of a, like, no, never mind. It felt like Lady Bird was clearly like more left in her political views. And I don't know if she was necessarily like against the grain and where she's from. But it felt like as soon as you saw that, happened in the bathroom, like you knew that it wasn't going to be a problem. Like obviously it was a problem because I was her boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't going to be like a problem for Lucas Hedges' character, like moving forward, which I thought was cool. And definitely showed a lot about.
It wasn't going to be a problem for Lucas Hedges' character moving forward.
Yeah, like
with Lady Bird,
right? Like she wasn't. Like, she yeah, wasn't yeah, right. She wasn't.
I was
going to
say
go,
that's probably going to be a problem for Lucas Hedges going forward in the right, Catholic right. community.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay.
In the relationship.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
But I think that showed a lot about Lady Bird's character.
Right.
Which I really liked.
Yeah. Totally. And I loved like the comparison between Lady Bird and Kyle was so funny, and like something that was really emphasized and is really thematic, and I'm gonna talk about the themes in a little bit, but like there's like the attack on Baghdad that occurs on TV, and there's like news of, you know, 9/11 happened a year before the movie takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of like news stories about like what's going on in the Middle East at the time. And Lady Bird just doesn't care. And not because she's a bad person, but because like people that age often don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's just kind of how younger people are. But then on the flip side, you have Timothée Chalamet's character, Kyle, who like, I air quotes, cares about everything. Not to say he doesn't care about things, but is just...
I don't like money.
Yeah, I don't like money. Right, exactly. Like stuff like that. And like they're fighting in bed at that one part, and his quote is, "Do you even know how many civilians we killed since the invasion of Iraq started?" Like in the middle of like an argument they're having, just to just try to tell her like you don't care about anything. Like look what's happening in the world, which like I'm not trying to say he doesn't care, but like it is like a I think
yeah
there's two camps of people that are not. As kids that are not aware of what's going on, and then I think a lot of people that are like, I have to care, like look mm-hmm. at all these things happening. I thought that was very like very well portrayed. I thought it was really funny. Yeah,
talk about the themes. Let's dive into that. Let's dive in.
Okay, dude. Let me flip the page. Yeah.
That's really good. I love it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. there's a lot. I think like the biggest one I thought was like unspoken love, unspoken forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very specific to a father-daughter relationship as well as a mother-daughter relationship, just a parental to
mm-hmm.
child relationship. Because you see, and I going back to what I just said about how she doesn't care about world events, which is normal for a high schooler. I don't think anyone expects them to care about world events.
Mm-hmm.
But she also has no idea what's going on with her dad. Doesn't know he loses his job or mm-hmm. is even at risk of losing his job. Doesn't know about his depression. Isn't concerned with their money, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so true of so many relationships with kids and their parents, not mm-hmm. that specific relationship because every family has different problems. But mm-hmm. like even with my own, like it's like, man, I didn't thank them for that.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, definitely.
Or, you know, I didn't say sorry for that. And this isn't my free pass, mom and dad. I know you're listening. Like this isn't my free pass to be like, I don't have to. Like that's just unspoken. But there is truth to that where there's always going to be you obviously I mean. Again, every family is different, but you can't repay your parents for what they've done for you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always going to be a debt unpaid by kids mm-hmm. to their parents. I think that's what was really amplified here. And there's the line about her. She's like, let me write down the number of how much I owe you so I can write you a check and never have to talk to you again. And it's like, that's often how we feel about our parents when they do give us a hard time. It's like, well, you birthed me and you decided to take this on. So like, what's the issue? And at the same time, it's like, man, I will never be able to like repay you for any of this, but that's okay. Cause that's just what parenting is. And that's what being a kid is. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was so well done. And like there's countless cases of Lady Bird like not knowing what's going on, like I just said, with her parents. And
I think one really good example of that is whenever that scene that you were just talking about, like, then let me write down the number. Whenever the mom points out that the dad is like kind of saddened by the fact that he had that Lady Bird.
Yeah, has, exactly. Has asked him to drop her off down the street. So right, she's like to a block away with him. Yeah.
And how he was like, why'd you bring that up? Like, yeah. we didn't have to say that. And like, I'm sure, you know, looking back, there were so many things
that hurt our parents.
Right. That, you know, maybe that I still do today that like,
yeah,
that hurt my parents and they're like, just like, I don't know.
They don't say anything.
Yeah, I guess they.
Which is
like,
so selfless,
right? I don't know if that's a matter of just like loving me so much that it's just like, all right, yeah, that's fine, I guess.
Yeah, no, I mean, but I think that is.
Not that I'm taking that for granted, but
no, but it is just love, and it's a narrative thread that's been present since some of the earliest texts in history, like the Bible, for instance, of like. Love so great that you don't have to say you're sorry. And that's a simplification of the gospel. but it's, and you do have to say you're sorry. Actually, you do have to repent. But no, it is like, you know what? We're forgetting about those terrible, terrible things you've done because I love you so much. Mm. And that's, it's cool that like, that's just a narrative truth. And that's something we see in this movie. And there's times, and you see the both sides of this theme in this movie, because the mom doesn't do a very good job of that at times. Mm-hmm. The mom does like to bring things up of, hey, you're not doing this well, and I'm going to remind you of that. And Lady Bird's like I was born this way or whatever. So there's both sides of that. But I think that was a really, I mentioned that Lady Bird does that countless times. Miguel goes to a job interview. He kind of straightens himself, like loses the piercings and is like going looking professional at a job interview like his parents would want him to in his eyes. And he ends up interviewing for the same job that his dad does. And it's not like an, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do this. His dad's like, go ahead, like knock him dead or whatever. He's bleeding his parents dry, literally taking his job, a job that his dad could potentially get. And the parents' love is like, I'm proud of you. Go do well. I thought that's like one of my favorite moments in the movie.
Yeah.
And like his, like a really strong theme that comes out throughout the movie. And lastly, last two things on this specific theme is she never says sorry at the end. She calls him on the phone and says, I love you. And like, thanks for everything. She never apologizes. Because again, like you don't have to is a big theme, I think. And I think just going to college is a great way to show this. Like, I think about this still and thought about it a lot freshman year, like coming to New York for college. And I know it's like something that still is in play for both of us. Like, being away from your family for college specifically is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like making that initial decision to go to college and leave your family. It's like, oh, this person that's raised me for 18 years, I'm now going to just leave them and go do my own thing. And I think it was such a great way to frame the movie with this theme in mind of, oh, we're going to have her go to college because that's the biggest betrayal, where it's not really a bad thing. And you're making your parents proud by going to do this thing. And at the same time, you're abandoning them.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, I was on the phone with my parents, last week sometime. And I realized that this semester is the longest I've ever been away from home.
Me too.
You know, like the first semester I was here, I like went home, you know, 2 months through or whatever. And then second semester we got sent home early. And I didn't travel home at all this semester just because I didn't have to quarantine when I got back.
Yeah.
It's only like 5 months, which is crazy. Like, my entire, you know, 19 to 20 years of existence.
I've never been away from 5 months.
It's the longest I've been away. And I'm honestly like really looking forward to going back home.
I am too, man.
Just like, you know, reuniting with that. And especially, you know, by the time I go home, I'll be fully vaccinated, and yeah, everyone in my family will be as well. And so I'll be able to actually see everyone, which will be really awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's powerful stuff. And yeah, that's crazy. Actually, like, this is the longest I've been away from my parents or anyone in my family, actually. Obviously not Mary. Shout out. I live with her.
Shout out, Mary.
Other themes, shedding your past / embracing aspects of it. Like I said already, Miguel like makes a transformation in the movie, kind of. And it's also an unspoken thing. It's not like and the parents again aren't like, I told you so, like, this isn't the real you, like, go like get a job. They weren't like rubbing in his face, or at least they didn't show that in the movie. Mm-hmm. It was an unspoken thing of like, I'm gonna get a job. And you know, and same with Lady Bird, is she doesn't say, oh, I was stupid for 18 years, or like, I was so stupid before, I'm just going to use my real name now. Like, she doesn't say that, but she makes a little transformation when she gets to college and says, my name is Christine, not Lady Bird. And so it's like, it's admitting, like, it's her admitting her parents were right about a lot of things without ever saying that. And without ever saying, like, you're right, like, I'm sorry. It's just like, you were right, but I'm just going to live my life. And it's like kind of a pride thing. I thought that was like prevalent in a couple of places. Or going to church at the end. Like,
shout out Reuben Hall, dude.
Yeah, there is a church actually right across from where Aiden and I lived freshman year. And it's funny, they don't actually say that the school is NYU. They just say an East Coast school. And if you'll notice, like, when she picked up the letter, her thumb was over the word Columbia. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they weren't allowed to use the university's name. So, I thought the church was significant as like another embrace of her past. And she's at the party and she's like, you don't believe in God? Wow. Or whatever. It was funny. But she's at the church and she had just been bashing Catholicism the whole movie and like not wanting to be at a Catholic school at all. And I thought just the use of the Catholic Church in general is, I think, significant because it's something that a lot of people break away from when going to school, Christianity in general, but I think the Catholic Church especially, from what I've experienced with people around me here. So I thought that was significant, and that was really good use of symbolism at the end there. Yeah. There was just an idea of, last thing really from me is like, there was an idea of hardship of life, like the poverty aspect of it. Not getting along with your family just because of like your personalities, like, they weren't doing anything wrong necessarily, but they just didn't get along. That goes for like the whole family. The drama teacher at the Catholic school was just dealing with depression and no one knew it, and everyone saw him as a happy guy, but like that was something personal he went through. And Lucas Hedges was gay in a Catholic community, and like there were all these things. It's like they're just that way because they're that way, and it's like, I don't know how to put it better than like life's hard. And it felt fair. I thought it just like that representation of life is hard felt very natural and not overplayed at all. It was just like these things happen, and it wasn't the tragedy that you see in so many really dramatic movies. It just felt very natural. Mm-hmm. And just like a matter of life going on. And like, that's kind of how growing up is. And it was, I thought, a very good, you said coming of age story already, but I thought it was a really good coming of age story that felt very realistic. Mm-hmm. Didn't feel like dramatized teenagers, because they were dramatic teenagers, but they didn't push the drama or the melodrama on you. It felt like a very real coming of age story. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A few last points for me that you've kind of touched on. The first note that I wrote down for the film was good relationship between mom and daughter, which I was so wrong. It was when they were in the car.
A good portrayal.
Right. They were in the car and they were listening to the audiobook and, you know, things seem happy. There's a good relationship there. They're on a road trip together. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, you know, what a great relationship they have there. And then, as soon as I finished writing the line, Like, they just immediately start fighting.
And then she jumps out of the car.
Right. She jumps out of the car, breaks her arm, and then, like, 10 minutes in, like, I am just totally proven wrong. Like the just the relationship between the mom and the daughter is just, like, completely just messy, I would say. And, you know, eventually at the end there's a resolution, slightly a resolution. I just thought that the dynamic between that and the relationship between Lady Bird and her dad was very interesting. And I really enjoyed that relationship between Lady Bird and her dad. And, you know, I've talked about how things just feel real. And I feel like the dad going behind the mom's back to, like, help slide some money for applications and things like that. Like, that seems like something that, you know, even possibly one of my parents would do, just to, like, just because I, you know, want to go to a college on the East Coast or whatever. Like, I feel like that's something that might happen, and definitely, you know, has happened to a lot of people before. And that felt really real. And then, there's one more thing, but I think you have something to say.
I was going to say, back to, like, the point of you thought they had a good relationship. It's a really good balance plate of them being very similar people. And in that regard, they get along.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see a movie with a mother and daughter that are okay with listening to a book on tape on a road trip. Like, they're both peculiar.
Hmm.
Or at least Lady Bird is. And, like, they get along in that regard, but then just clash because their personalities are both so adamant, I guess, and just so strong. So strong. And so... yeah, they don't get along in that way.
Yeah, I think that's all I got.
Last thing. Okay, I'll just say.
One more thing.
Greta Gerwig, good job directing.
Yeah.
Because I only say this because I saw, like, an Instagram clip of, like, her directing some behind the scenes. There's a few moments in the movie where it's, like, the scenes are just things happening, not necessarily scripted lines or, like, even scripted behavior. Maybe with a voiceover over action happening. I think about, like, Lucas Hedges and Saoirse Ronan, like, running through the field when they first start dating and, you know, looking at stars and stuff. And just a good job directing, like, natural moments. And that's not specific to Greta Gerwig, because that happens in lots of movies, but that doesn't, That doesn't diminish what she does. And I thought that was a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This movie, I'll dedicate to the moms and dads out there.
Yeah, shout out mom, shout out
dad. Yeah, and my parents too.
Shout out Mr. and Mrs. Perrone.
Sorry for all the stuff. I do. And thank you for everything you do.
In general. Yeah. I remember in high school when my brother Cole went to Syracuse, he was selected as Syracuse has this thing called Remembrance Scholars, where they honor, I think, 35 students who were in a plane crash from, I think, sorry, I don't want to mess it up. I don't know the specific details.
That's okay.
But it's, like, one of the highest honors that you can have as a Syracuse student, and Cole was selected for that his senior year. And I remember in the pamphlet of, like, you know, students could say things that they wanted in the pamphlet, like, that introducing them. And one of the things that he wrote was, to mom and dad, I'll never, like, no words will ever be able to express my thanks to you.
Yeah, because there isn't a way.
And, like, ever since I read that, I've just, like, felt that way. Like, honestly, like, you know, just thinking back in terms of just, like, the great life that I've had so far, and even just, like, coming to NYU and asking them to let me do that, there's, like, absolutely no thanks, like, no words that can express how thankful I am.
Yeah, so for sure.
Shout out mom, shout out dad, shout out Mr. and Mrs. Perrone.
Yeah.
Shout out all the teachers out there that helped us get here.
Yeah.
Who are also moms and dads.
Yeah, shout out to all the moms and dads that helped us get here. But yeah, that's about it. Do I roll into next week's movie?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. If you're still listening,
thank you.
Next week's movie is Catherine Bigelow's The Hurt Locker.
The Heart Locker?
The Hurt Locker. Hurt? As in, I hurt myself today.
The Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
Okay. Never heard of it before.
Really?
Really? I've never heard of that before.
Okay. I mean, I'm not judging. It's just like that's surprising.
Okay, all right, all
right. It's a war movie.
It's a war movie?
Yeah, but with a twist, I'd say.
With a twist. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it, as always.
That's available on NYU Stream for you NYU students, i.e. Aiden and I, and everyone else. You can rent it in a couple places.
So basically, if you're not us, you're kind of screwed.
It's like $3. But yeah, it's available on Apple.
Apple TV Plus?
I don't even know, man.
Probably Amazon.
Amazon.
Probably
is, yeah.
So, Hulu, maybe.
Enjoy. I've seen it once and really enjoyed it. But it was not at all what I expected from... I was on like a war movie kick. I was just watching every war movie and comparing them. And I was like, whoa, that one stands out. So I want to pick
whoa.
It. But yeah, that will be episode 12 next week. And our last episode in the room. So... Thank you guys so much for listening.
Wow, that was sad.
Yeah. I know. Thank you so much for listening. And yeah, that's it. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate your support tenfold.
Tenfold.
We'll see you next week.
Peace.